He's going. All right. So item three, we went out on at 5:27. Wow, we were in there that long. And we're back in at 7:15. Just for your records. Okay. So we returned at 7:15. Item four, discussion. A, action, presentation, and discussion of possible action regarding the approval of the proposed 19-20 budget. Do you have any further questions? What Donna presented?
No.
No. So is there anything further? I'm just going to move to approve, if I can get a second.
1 second.
Oh, Mr. Almost seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Excuse me. Okay, item B. Presentation, discussion, and possible action regarding the approval of the superintendent contract for Mr. Timothy Macklin. We discussed in there, and we do have a contract. And so, without anything further, do you have anything further?
No.
I'm going to make a motion to approve the contract for Mr. Timothy Macklin.
I'll second it.
Mr. Olmos seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye.
Presentation, discussion, and possible action to retain the accounting firm of Highfield and Meach to review applicable documents and advise the district regarding to this IRS problem. I believe that we don't have any options. And so if you guys are on board, I'd like to make a motion to approve Highfield and Meach for the in-depth inquiry.
I think we need to make this motion right here, number one.
That would be part of it, right?
Yep. This is the exact same thing. But
I think I left it in my manual. This guy?
To be recorded in the minutes.
Okay. Okay. We're moving to retain the accounting firm of Highfield and Meach to review applicable documents and report to the governing board and our attorneys regarding the payment of payroll taxes and filing of federal tax returns for 2018 and 19 as detailed in this letter. Dated June 17th at a cost to the district not to exceed $10,000. I move we approve the contract between the district and Mr. Macklin, as superintendent.
Well, that would be a different.
Huh?
That's a different.
A different thing? Okay. That's our one. Okay.
So I'll second that motion.
Okay. Mr. Elmo seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. That's C. You didn't miss anything.
Okay. Sorry, I'm delayed.
That Dwell Denise wanted to have be able to see before she left. So that's okay. Item D, regarding the presentation, discussion, and possible action regarding the approval of the returning employees for the 19-20 fiscal year.
Item D.
No, we're on.
We
didn't do the
approval of the returning employees.
No, this one, the one because we didn't have the executive session on B.
Do I have the wrong agenda?
Yeah, I think we do.
So this is what we just got today.
So everything should be the same up to.
Except
so this would have the two executive sessions.
That's
the new one, right?
No.
That's the two executives?
Item three, you got A and B, right?
A and B, right.
Okay.
She wanted them listed this way because she wanted to be able to speak to the board about issues regarding personnel.
Okay, so that's, let me see if this, so if this doesn't have the E-rate on it, then this is the wrong one then. Yeah, this doesn't have it on here.
It's I. Do you have I?
Let's see. This is the one we added after yesterday evening. I have I. For Cochise County E-rate.
Remember, Denise said that we were supposed to go ahead because we didn't have the B part. We're not going to hold the executive session on the evaluation of the superintendent.
You end up with a bunch of milk here. Okay.
Okay, this one front back, sorry.
Okay.
But I think that's just a matter of stating it for the record.
We just have, yeah, we just have to state it for the record that we didn't have that executive session.
Right.
The B one.
Item B. Okay. The executive session. Let's see, that's what I wrote my note on this one. We're striking item B, and we did not do that. So I'd like to move that we strike it.
Second that motion.
Reese's seconds?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So I'm striking it. Reese Romero. Okay. So I see how my time's on here for the executive, so I'm going to do that.
Now we're at D.
B?
D under section 4D.
Tell the back side of your paper.
Have you done A?
Yes.
Mm-hmm, we did A, that's okay. Done.
We're
second
D
chance
right
to be better.
I mean, we're at D.
You're in
and
D.
We did Macklin, we did
the
firm.
The
okay,
Meech.
D, thank you. Presentation and discussion to possible action regarding the approval of the featuring returning employees for the 2019-2020 school year. So there are so many contracts in here. It was kind of hard to. So we have the list of the classified personnel.
These are the classified and their positions. There is one TBA, and that's for Mr. Vasquez, who left for Bisbee. And so that position needs to be filled. The others are all the employees returning. These are the classified personnel.
So we can strike the TBA to be announced because there is no one at this time.
Correct. In
okay.
other words, there's nobody
and that's
to
a position
that
has
letter
to be
of employment until I listed it as TBA because I wanted the board to be aware that
we need that.
That this is a position that's going to be posted
okay.
or that is posted.
So we have a paraprofessional. The custodian, paraprofessional, the aide, the library, cafeteria worker, bus driver, custodian, paraprofessional, custodian, the Valdez's ground maintenance, paraprofessional, and cafeteria worker.
There are no increases in the positions. It's basically the same employees returning. That's the first page.
Okay.
The second page is the list of returning certified teachers. And so there are two teachers that have informed me in writing that they will not be returning. And the other teachers are listed there. The one that is not listed there is Sharon Christie. She is a long-term sub, so we didn't put her on that list.
That's the returning.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
We're on this one.
No. You're on the classified.
Yes.
The second page is the certified, is the teachers.
No, it's the list of returning certified personnel.
When I was taking my thing to the car, all this whole thing was scattered in the road. And so
let me know if you need any of these documents.
Well, I have them here. Okay. I had to grab them up and stick them in here. Not certificated. That's not even the same one.
No, you got.
That's the third one.
See, I didn't get that one.
I don't have that one. I have this one.
I got that one. That was the first one we just talked about.
But I do not have that one.
I don't have this one either.
Let me see that one.
In this section, you should have three pieces of paper. You did not get three.
I got three.
I have the salary schedule things. I have. Nope. I have this one. I have this minimum wage thing.
So you have this one, correct?
No. I don't have
it. You don't have this one. Do you have this one for the teachers?
Yes, I have that one.
Do you have this one for the...
No, I don't have it.
Okay.
Whichever one doesn't she have?
She does not have the non-certified personnel.
Well, I have these two.
You know the three copies, Miss... Ms. Horton, do you have them?
Let me see what that is. Yeah, I've never seen that.
Here, come over here.
Oh, but she has that one, right?
Make three copies of each of these.
Okay. But I don't have this one.
If we could take just a short break,
okay.
She is going to return. So I want to make sure that you have exactly
have all
the same
of them, but that
papers
one.
That I have.
I don't have that one. We don't have the resignation by the right? We don't have the resignations.
The resignations, I have them, but it's a special board meeting, so I was going to, on July the 2nd, I was given instructions to Ms. Horton to bring you their resignations.
Okay.
What I have done is I have posted the positions for the individuals that have told me, or have submitted a letter to me. And those are currently posted online.
Okay.
Yes, it's Maria Reese, fourth grade teacher, is resigning, and Miss Barbara Conalog, our special ed teacher, is resigning. Okay.
So Miss Christie is coming back. That's the one that I'm missing.
Miss Christie.
Yeah.
What I indicated about Miss Christie is she wasn't on the list for the teachers because she's a long-term sub.
But she's
on the other list.
Okay.
And as of right now, she has not submitted anything to me indicating that she is not returning.
Okay.
However, you need to know she may not return. But she hasn't indicated to me.
Yeah.
She hasn't given me anything in writing. And when I speak to the board, it's not until I have something in writing that I tell you. Okay.
No, it's because I didn't see, because I didn't have those papers, so that's why I was asking, because I didn't see her name from you.
Thank you. I have this one.
I got one.
Thank you. No.
Okay, so we had just gone through the classified staff. Did you have any questions on that? On that list.
Oh, so that's the one, the TBA, we're striking that.
No, well, this TBA for a paraprofessional that you're still looking for.
To be announced.
Right. There's no contract to issue there because there's no employee. The only reason I listed it there is so that you knew that there was a vacancy.
Is that one is it listed already as an opening?
It's an opening.
It is? Okay.
Right, but there's no contract to give.
Okay.
But probably in July, there will be a contract to give. But at that point, your new superintendent will bring you the name.
Okay, thank you.
And then the rest of the employees are the employees that were working this past year. There's been no addition of positions. There's been no decrease in positions. All of these individuals have indicated that they're returning or that they would like to return.
Okay.
And so there are their names, and then I listed what it is that they do here at school.
So we're not really doing contracts on these. These are just information more than.
Well, anything. Later in the agenda, we are gonna request that they receive. And for the classified employees, they don't necessarily receive a contract. They receive a letter of employment.
Some of them are really not on the clock, right? They're
these individuals punch in and punch out.
Right.
And so they are.
They get paid for the hours they're here
on the clock.
Right. Okay.
And so that's that list. Do you have any further questions on this list?
No, and this is not an action item.
It is an action item.
It is
an action.
Well, it's an action in that if
the
administration
list.
Is going to be asking you to issue them letters of employment. And
right.
So when you issue them letters of employment, those individuals, if you approve them, those are the individuals that will receive a letter of employment if you take that action. Okay? The second list are the certificated teachers. And I listed two TBAs because these are individuals that have given me a letter indicating that they are not returning. And on July the 2nd at your board meeting, your superintendent will bring you those letters of resignation.
Okay.
And these positions, so that we weren't losing time, these positions are posted, but I will not be doing any interviews or anything. Assuming that your superintendent comes in early July, I wanted that individual to not have to come in, post it, wait. And so I wanted to take the time now to go ahead and post them.
So the one is sped and one's elementary.
Correct.
And so, but you have to understand that we can't, this is recommended letters of employment. We can't authorize a TBA without a name.
I understand.
Right. So,
but I just posted it so that you knew that there was a vacancy.
Gotcha.
And then secondly is, I also didn't want to list the name of an individual. Let's use Barbara Conalog. I didn't want to list Barbara Conalog. Have you issue her a contract with me already knowing that she's indicated that she's leaving? That didn't make any sense to me.
So these teachers, as of right now, are coming back.
Right. Correct. And
it's all the teachers that we have now.
So these are all the teachers that are at NAGO. Okay. Now, and that's where I was saying to you, there is one more, and that is Sharon Christie. We did not list her here because she does not have a certification.
She's under the non-certified?
Exactly, because she's a long-term sub.
Okay.
And that's the third list then. The third list are the employees. They're referred to as non-certified personnel. And so those individuals are Ms. Elias, the office manager, Ms. Morgan, Mr. Rodriguez, Ms. Valenzuela, she handles the work in the cafeteria, and Ms. Horton. So,
okay,
these individuals are referred to as non-certified personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I added Ms. Christie on this list because she wasn't a teacher, but she's not classified either.
Right.
So she's a long-term sub, so that's why I added her on this list. But you need to know that Ms. Christie is different than these individuals because she is actually working in the classroom.
She teaches junior high?
Yes, she teaches math at the junior high.
But she's the one that tentatively might not be returning.
She may not be returning, and again, I will know more in the next couple of days.
Okay.
But as of right now, since she hasn't provided me any documentation, I went ahead and included her.
Why do you think she is not returning?
She is considering a job opportunity in another city.
She did mention that this is closer to her home.
That's it. Now, this agenda item is for you to see that if the board decides to issue contracts tonight, to vote on contracts, these are the individuals that would be provided a contract or a letter of employment. A letter of employment is for individuals that are classified. A contract are for teachers, and of course for your superintendent. So the difference between a contract and a letter of employment, a letter of employment is more of an at-will position, whereas a teacher has a contract.
But do all letters of employment have an at-will that you can terminate them at any time without cause?
You may.
Okay. You want us to make a decision on that before we even go into about the money aspect?
So the recommendation that I would make, and Donna, let me know if you agree with this, is that we use this right now simply as an information item so that you're aware of who we're speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the agenda, when when, if indeed you vote on the contract, then the contract will say to the administration, okay, the board has voted on the contract. Now these individuals are the ones that are going to be receiving those contracts or those letters of employment.
Okay.
That's
so do you think it's premature to do it? Are there still people considering leaving?
I don't think it's premature because I think the dilemma the board runs into is that if you do not issue a letter of employment or if you do not issue a contract this evening, then you may have individuals that begin to look who otherwise would not have, because then they'll come back and say, well, wait a minute, if they're not going to issue me a letter of employment, I can't afford to wait, I need a job, I'm just going to go look elsewhere. That's the risk we run.
Well, and frankly, there's a couple on here, I think.
Late for that, so I think that the personnel that we have right now are the personnel that are committed and are going to be working for the district.
I would recommend that this evening, if the board is in agreement, that they issue contracts, but then you need to decide what that package is going to be. And so if you wanted to just use this as an information item right now...
I'd like to, because to tell you the truth, I had spoken to you about, for some disciplinary reasons, that one of these people I was thinking about not offering her a contract. And so I think that can we just go ahead and hold this until we get through the other contracts? Because I think in light of our prior conversation... that this is more involved in when it comes to these contracts and the monies and all that.
Okay.
Hold this till when?
No, I'm just saying let's move the returning employees on D down to. Do you think our fifth grade student's going to be back? The fifth grade little guy, is he going to come back tonight? We can still do it without him being here, I suppose.
The fifth grade?
Or the fifth grade.
The kindergarten.
Okay, so but we don't know if he's coming back or not.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well,
so let's
I don't understand when you say, is he coming back?
The parents of the little boy? It's because we were trying to...
They're a different set of parents.
Yeah, they're not the little kids.
They're not the kindergarten parents.
Oh, okay, so we don't have to worry about that.
We thought that was the parent of the kindergartens. Oh, okay.
It's good. So we move D to H, approving the employees' contracts. Below H.
Below H?
Oh, we can do it before the classified, actually, before after G. You want to do it before after G?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, okay, so H, we don't have to worry about that because he didn't have any representatives here anyway, right? Okay. So we'll go back to D, about returning employees. Item E, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the approval of the 1920 classified salary schedule in regards to the minimum wage increase effective January 1.
Okay, so in this particular item, we provided the board with two different salary schedules. And as you, if you remember, in the dialogue that we were having back in early June, the board is going to be faced with the requirement in January of 2020 of the minimum wage going up by $1. The determination that you need to make, or the decision you need to make, is whether or not you want to wait until January 2020, and then just incorporate that for each of the classified employees, or do you want to start that $1 increase for each employee, whether or not you want to do it commencing in July?
Personally, I think that we should wait and do the minimum wage increase in January 2020. That's a long ways off. I think we should wait to do that.
That is the board's decision.
I think we should do it now.
The thing is, we're in deep debt right now, and we're going to get that resolved. But I would like to have all that taken care of before we even discuss, because it's not even due till January 2020. We're in June, and the minimum wage increase doesn't technically go up till January 2020.
But is it a completely separate set of funding?
No.
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 No. So, if the board decided to wait to January 2020, the money that you're going to pay the employees is going to have to come from the same fund that you're going to pay them in July. Mm-hmm. The
what I'm saying is the, is the same funding that's going to be used for this IRS issue. Or is it, completely separate?
I don't know that it's completely separate.
Because depending on what the number
but
is.
But here is the other issue. If you do not provide the $1 increase until January of 2020, at that point, there's no option. And January 20th, the law kicks in.
Right.
Now, so then if you decide to wait till January, that certainly is your decision. But then do the classified employees then get a pay raise from July to December? Or do you just leave them where they're at?
Right.
With the understanding that in January, the state is going to essentially mandate everybody gets a $1 increase.
Because there will be a discrepancy on the contract.
It's the minimum wage is going up. It's not mandatory that everybody gets the dollar raise.
No,
Well, the way the salary schedule is, though, it just kind of forces it to perceive that everybody's going to get the dollar. It really does.
And so, from what I've been reading and I've been looking into it, mm-hmm. it is going to, minimum wage will be going up,
mm-hmm.
but it's everybody that's under minimum wage has to pump up to minimum wage.
Correct.
But that not necessarily means that everybody, all employees, will get a $1 raise.
So let me see if I understand you. If Ms. Horton is earning minimum wage right now, then in January she will then get a $1 increase.
Right.
Yes.
But let's say I'm not minimum wage. Let's say I'm earning $15 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that doesn't necessarily mean then that I get the $1 increase.
That's right.
Correct.
But I understand that you understand it differently.
Well, the only piece that is different is that we have somebody making $11.85 or $35 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's on step 6 or 7 right now. So the one making minimum wage is going to make $12. What is that going to do to the person making $11.85 right now?
So tell me this number at the bottom.
And from what I read, they go up to $12. They don't get that dollar. They get those 15 cents.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
But the problem that you might have is an issue of compression. Someone that got the $1 increase may either be now the same or earning slightly more than someone that's been here 3 or 4 years.
Exactly.
In which case, that is a real problem for morale.
That is a real problem, but they have to understand that it's not our intention to do it like that. It wasn't, technically that's how it's meant to be.
So say we don't do the increase, right? Come January, is there a possibility that a teacher could say, well, where's my money because on my contract I'm supposed to get so much?
This is only classified.
Only hourly people.
Hourly employees.
Okay. Well, same situation. You know,
this would only be the individuals on that list, that everybody from Ms. Acuna to Ms. Valenzuela, this is who that would affect. And on that list, you have individuals that are earning close to minimum wage.
So you're saying some of these are, not all these people are minimum wage then?
Exactly. For example, if you look at somebody like Maritza Olivares,
mm-hmm.
she's nowhere close to minimum wage because of the amount of years that she has served in the district.
But that's the thing, she's been here for so long, and I saw her salary was very low compared to some other people there.
Well, when you see the salary in comparison to a teacher,
mm-hmm.
but if you see it based on...
The paraprofessionals.
Right. They're all on a salary schedule. And the more years you are in the organization, every year you get a bump. Most years, not every year. And so that's the point that I was making, is that if somebody just barely came into the organization, they're going to be at or close minimum wage. But you take someone that's been here 5, 10, 15 years, they're not going to be close to minimum wage.
Right.
But you still have that possibility that if you do not give a raise, and then in January you're mandated to give a raise, but you're only giving it to those individuals that are at the minimum wage, then you may have individuals that have been here 1 or 2 years now earning more than those that have been here 3 or 4 or 5.
So tell us, like on this one that says required by January 1, 2020, the non-certified, Blanca Acuna, what is her role?
She is a paraprofessional.
Para, okay. And Miguel?
He's a custodian.
Custodian. Borges? Gariola?
There's the list over here.
See, some of these are down here. When we get down here to these janitors,
that's what I am.
That was confusing.
That was my,
I'm just going
right
by
here.
This because it has. Oh, that has those on there. Okay, so I was shocked at some of these janitors' salaries. They're making more than teachers.
Well, some of these have been here for years.
Some has been here a year.
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
Not even a year.
Like who? One point
right
one
there.
Out to me.
Right here.
This one.
Third up. Mm-hmm. He has been here less than a year.
Okay. Well, that's another reason why we should approve it, to give that $1 raise starting this.
The question
year.
Is, how is he making that amount of money when he's been here a year? And custodians, am I correct? The custodians may or may not put in 8 hours a day. Right?
No, custodians do.
Huh?
Custodians put in 8 hours.
What's the difference between a custodian and a grounds maintenance worker?
They're all 8 hours.
Right.
But
custodians.
And they work year round, and they're here for 8 hours, every one of them?
Grounds,
yes.
Is working anything outside the eaves and in the grounds.
But I think when this person came in, he was given credit for some experience in the past. I could
mm-hmm.
be wrong, but I thought
yes,
that might
he was.
Viable. Okay.
But
like you look at Maritza.
In the past.
No, but he worked in the maintenance field.
Well, look at Maritza. She's been here forever.
Mm-hmm.
Has she not been here forever?
Mm-hmm.
And her salary? Seriously?
Because she's only working 10 months of the year.
But
are
she has still been here a long
low,
time.
Or are you concerned that it's too high?
I think it's insane that how low it is, and I know she's a paraprofessional, an aide.
She is a paraprofessional.
Yeah.
No, if it's low, and we give them that dollar raise starting the school year, then.
Yeah, but some of these people don't deserve it.
I mean,
that dollar raise. Did
you
know that none of the janitors are normally go over $20? And this is going to put this guy that's brand new. Almost where you're.
See, he's been here for 1 year.
Yeah.
Almost a year. He's been here for almost what, 4 years? And look at their. See the difference?
Mm-hmm. I think we need to modify it. I think we need to take a look at some of these, really. Because, I mean, there's something funky here. Now, Ms. Martin, you've been here a long time, right?
How many years have you been here?
This will be my sixth.
6 years? But and you, Ms. Travis?
This is my eighth.
Your eighth year?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, I mean, I don't know. There could be that this other person that you're talking about over here has more experience than this other person up here.
Well, here's the thing.
I mean, honestly, I don't want to get into the, you know, why is this person getting
well, I just
more
saw
than,
that.
Than this other person. I think that we should just focus on giving them that dollar raise.
I think we should focus on the fact.
What if we just focus on the teachers getting their dollar raise, and then we'll hold on everybody else?
I think we should focus on the fact.
No, we're only talking about, like they said, it's going to be the classified personnel.
Exactly. But we're still talking about.
It's just the teacher part.
But it's not required till January 2020. And okay. We have all these. Our numbers have been fluctuating from what we owe from minimal to hundreds of thousands.
But here is the thing, is that, number one, there isn't anything funky going on. Number two is the salaries of all of these employees, every year that they are brought forth for a letter of employment, the salaries are listed.
Right.
And so I remember that when we hired the individual that has been here for solely 1 year,
right.
I remember bringing forth the salary of what that individual was going to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
And that individual was being given credit for the amount of experience and years that he had done that type of work in another organization. And so that was brought forth to the board. And now what we're doing is we're saying, okay, now we're moving on to one more year, next year.
Right.
So these, we wanted to be transparent and say, these are the salaries and this is what they do. So now the consideration in the board agenda item is to determine, does the board wish to give them a pay increase? We recommend that you do. And we recommend that you give them the $1 an hour, because you're going to have to do that in January.
But January is a long ways off.
Hang on a minute, but let me finish the point. By providing them the $1 an hour, it represents, what is it, a 9% pay increase?
It's only about 8. It's not even quite 9.
It's like an 8% increase.
That's a lot.
It gets jumbled. And let me tell you how it gets jumbled. If you do not do that, that is your choice, then you're going to have to deal with this again in December, heading into January. But then you have to decide, so what are we doing between July and December? So let's say you decide to give them a one-step increase, which is in the amount of, let's say, 1%.
Mm-hmm.
So you give them that 1%, and they're working on that between July and December. And then come December, then, you are then going to need to provide them what the state is mandating. So you may be paying them 10% starting in January versus, because unless you want to do nothing between July and December, because Donna and I had this conversation, we had a detailed conversation about, you know, so what do we do? Because for the teachers, we were, and again, understand what I said. For the teachers, we are providing you a package that says one step, 1%, a 5%, which is what the state through the Red for Ed is providing, and a 7% package. But see, they're not eligible for the $1 pay increase. It's just
this classified. Is not a minimum wage, right.
So we were on the horns of a dilemma as an administration. If we say to you, pay the classified staff 5%, let's say, then in December, that $1 pay increase was going to kick in. We didn't want to put the board in a predicament of saying, wait a minute, we gave them a 5% increase that they've been earning since July, and now some of them are going to then get $1 more. That's why we were recommending do it all at once right now, so that when January comes, it doesn't mean anything. It's all, you've already done it.
But the thing is, like, okay, so if we do approve the $1 increase in January, that's as of January and forward, we don't have to go back.
Correct. In which case, then the question that begs to be asked, so what are you going to do between July and December?
What do you mean what we're going to do?
So,
we're going to get our IRS thing straightened out. And we have to get all this other monetary business taken care of. And like with this audit, I mean, this audit that we got through Heinfield and Meech, this isn't over. And these numbers and some of these questions that they're asking about $14,000, this stipends and leaves and 1 to 5, I mean, there's a lot. And we're going to have to, we're not just dealing with the IRS, we're dealing with this Heinfeld and Meech thing, too. And I would like to have that, I would rather have a clean slate on that, if we can move forward without having to worry about the money, personally. And if it's January 2020, I think we should wait till January 2020 or December. That's my, just my theory. Until we get, we're in the hole right now for so much, and we have never been here since Ms. Marsh was here. And so we really need to get this rectified. And it takes years if it goes bad, you know. So what do you guys think? Do you want to, are you ready to make a decision?
No, I still think we should do it now.
No, I don't think so.
Huh?
I don't think so because
it's premature because it's January.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, I don't know if we can or cannot do it, but how many, like, I don't know how many years a lot of these people have been here for.
Okay.
And then, if honestly, the pay raise that they're making, some of them, I mean, I don't know. I just think it's too much.
And they receive insurance, right? Hmm? They get insurance.
Yes. Right. Well, that.
So their insurance increased also.
Does everybody get the insurance?
I think I was trying trying to remember whether or not you've approved insurance for the employees. I think you're doing that as part of the contract.
We do all the employees' insurance.
You already did them. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
So they're paying more for insurance with the same pay.
What?
Pretty much, right?
Mm-hmm. Well,
so we pay paying their insurance, we pay their dental and medical, but we're giving them a step. But we also, that's what we've always done. But we also, this year the insurance went up. And I think that's another question I'm going to want to have when we get to that item, is how much did it go up? Because the itemized thing said it didn't have what additional insurance was going in to them, you know.
Well, I wrote you that document on your Friday report. Uh-huh. And in that document, I indicated that, let me find it here. There is an increase in insurance payment for employees for next year totaling $6,732 for the district.
$6,742?
No, $6,732.
32, and that's total?
Yes.
Right. Okay. So next year increase averages $16 more than this year per employee.
Okay.
So I would not consider that a spike.
Mm-hmm.
It is an increase, but we wanted to be transparent and let you know this is what it is.
Well, but remember when we had Payne here and we paid him to come down and do that, he said that by us doing the step with the additional insurance, he said a lot of schools don't even pay their employees insurance, period. So we're paying the insurance, we're paying the additional insurance, and he still said that was more money than the Red for Ed was.
That... I'm not sure I agree with him.
He said that what we were giving them was an increase. It was more than the Red for Ed with the insurance, the step, because a lot of schools don't pay the insurance at all. And he said that was offset still by monetarily more than what the Red for Ed would have covered.
Well, wasn't that for teachers, though? That was for teachers on contracts, right? It wasn't for classified personnel.
This is non-classified, non-certified, this one here.
I'm talking about classified personnel, all these personnel right here.
Right, Rada?
We're talking about...
Right.
Yeah, these are classified personnel. They are not
certified
personnel.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this whole Red for Ed thing that you're talking about, that, you know, getting their insurance paid for and all that, doesn't apply to them because these individuals have to pay for their own insurance.
No, they don't.
We pay their insurance.
Well, they do have to pay. They don't pay anything.
We pay the insurance on all these.
Except
we pay all of our employees. We pay their
except
insurance.
Except for the dependents.
Right.
If an employee has dependents and they want to insure them through the district, they must pay that. What the district pays is the individual employee's insurance.
And we pay every
and there is an increase of $16 on average. We don't consider that to be a spike, as it often happens in some years, but it is an increase.
The district pays for that increase.
Yes.
That is correct. With due respect, we don't believe that with the troubles that we're having with the IRS and the issues that still need to be resolved, that that prevents the board from making some sort of commitment regarding pay increases.
It may
drive you to say, no, it doesn't, but I don't want to do that now. That is certainly your choice. What I would do and what I would strongly recommend to the board is that tonight you issue a contract, and because I don't want to see any employee leave Knoxville. But without giving them a contract tonight, then the possibility of employees leaving exists.
Well, so, I don't think that any of us are contemplating having any leave. There's one person I think should. But in the end, we could have a discussion about that. But in the end, I think we have a new administration coming in, and I think that he needs to have some say in what we're taking in. We don't want anybody to leave.
I'm not going to argue
that.
We're
going to need still more teachers because of some of our classroom sizes are way too big. We want to get rid of that split, you know.
So we're talking still about the dollar raise.
Right.
Either do it now or we have to do it by...
You don't have to do it. The dollar raise is to pump up whoever is at minimum wage has to pump up to minimum wage.
At January 2020.
So if they're making $11.50 and the minimum wage goes to $12,
mm-hmm.
then we have to pump them up to $12. That is how it works. And that is how...
And if they're making more than the minimum wage, then they can take the
same. That's the thing. If they're
that doesn't make any sense. Why is somebody that's working at McDonald's going to be making the same amount of money
but
as one of our custodians here?
They're getting a dollar, but they're making
one of our custodians making a lot more money than
they're getting
the
a dollar
teachers.
Raise, and they're not
right, but,
making
but,
minimum wage.
Well, right, but then.
It's a minimum wage increase. That's
it's
what it's
a
called.
Minimum wage
correct.
Increase.
Right.
If
okay,
you,
so
if
I'm,
you
I'm,
read
let me
on
give
it.
You an example. Say one of our custodians is making $13 an hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the minimum wage goes up to $12. That's only a dollar difference, right? So that employee that's making $13 an hour isn't making that much more than a minimum wage employee. So why should one of our employees be in that situation, you know, pretty much making close to minimum wage, and they have to go out there and live off of $13 an hour?
But the law says they have to be making minimum wage.
Right, but I think, you know, since we're going to raise the minimum wage is going to go up to $12, right? And then I think every employee should in this district should get a raise as well.
Okay, and that's your example. My example is where, in another job, minimum wage will be going up to $12. If you're making $13.50, you're staying at $13.50 because that is, even though somebody new is coming at $12,
mm-hmm.
that's it.
Yeah, well, what does that do to the morale?
Exactly.
This district. So
sure,
I think
it's the law. It's what the law is saying.
Well, I understand it's the law,
we're not going to argue. I mean, it's the law. Minimum wage is going up
to
12.
We're not arguing. We're having a discussion.
No, that's what I'm saying. Okay, we're not going to get into it.
I still think
minimum,
we don't need to give them
the
$10
wage,
starting
the minimum wage is 12.
Look at the
going
first
to 12.
One.
Which is fine.
I've already said that. Me personally, I really don't care about, you know, who's making more than who. Okay. What we're talking about is giving them that $1 raise.
I just saying that you're making your own rules now, because this person is way over the minimum wage.
Okay, but the way I see it is that person accepted that.
And this person
that pay. Another person accepted that pay as well.
We thought as we were going to present to you that the most logical thing to do was to say everybody just moves up $1 per hour.
You know what
but,
I think?
But if this is just an issue of just for those individuals that are earning minimum wage, well then, you know, obviously that's something that you need to decide. But Ms. Horton, I think, wants to shed some light on a couple of issues that I think is important for the board to hear.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, but one thing is the IRS thing. That will come out of this year's budget. The money that you're looking for raises as such are coming out of next year's budget that were just proposed tonight. So you've got two different things that I think that answered part of one of your questions that you had, Mr. Thomas. So you're not...
And we have the budget for it, so let's give it to them.
Exactly. Exactly.
But see, now we still don't have the numbers on the IRS thing, though. That's
but,
the thing.
But she just said that that's going to be on the budget.
I know,
for...
but it's still hanging over our heads. You know, they said it
so,
could be 200,000.
So do you want to go into the new budget negative with? In the negative?
Are we going to go...
No.
It's a completely new budget.
There are a couple of things that are helping the district. Number one is there's been an increase in enrollment. And that has helped the district. The other piece is that 5% that has come in from the funds known as Red for Ed. Those funds have come in. And so with that, we felt comfortable making the recommendations that we're making. But again, I don't want to get ahead of the board. All we can do as the administration is just merely give you the recommendation. It certainly is up to you to decide what it is that you're going to do. With our classified employees, there is that factor that is more complex. In January, there's going to have to be some action taken for those that are minimum wage. But yearly, you've always given, except for some tough years when the recession hit in 2008 to about 2011, where the board has given some increase to classified employees. So the dilemma that you have is, so what do you want to do by way of pay increase, knowing what's going to happen in January? That's it right now. That's what the board needs to decide. What I would strongly recommend is if you don't want to discuss money and you're not going to commit to money, at least commit to the fact that they have employment for next year. Mm-hmm. That I would strongly recommend that you do.
I think that since this raise is going to be on next year's budget and has nothing to do with this past year's budget, that and that budget is the IRS issue, I think that we're good. We're going to have the money, so why not give it to them, right?
I just think that I would feel better doing it if we had this IRS problem wrapped up
before we do it.
It's required January 2020. That's more than a half a year ago away because we're having all these IRS problems.
We're getting into July, but
we're still talking about we don't have to initiate it till January 2020.
It's only 5 months.
It's 6 months.
Five, because we're in June now, and then this is going to start July, right?
But we're still midway in the month. It's midway in the year. I don't know. I, if you guys want to take a vote, I'm ready probably to vote because I'm really thinking we should wait. Because I've been in the middle of this IRS thing, and I've been driving to Tucson and seeing the attorneys and all this stuff.
The IRS issue is on the previous budget.
I know, but it's still
this right here is going to be on the new budget that has nothing to do with the IRS
issue.
Does it have anything to do with it?
It's a school.
It has to do with our general budget.
It's a general thing.
It's $1.
$1, but then we're talking about 5, 7, all these over here. We're not done with these jackups here. I would rather table this and give us some time to think about it then. At that rate, if we really need some time to think about it, I think we should
do the contracts. But if on the races, I think we should, if you want.
I'm ready to table all those.
I don't think we should table it. We should make a decision now.
My thing is that it's not. Now. We're not understanding that. The dollar raise. I mean, you say it's a dollar. To me, a dollar is a dollar. Trust me. With being a single parent, and three kids, to me, a dollar is a dollar, the same way as to other teachers. I'll bet you anything. And you know what?
And these here are $4.
We're going to have the money
here,
for it, right?
This one here is $4.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, to me, the teachers deserve that, and honestly, more. But when I see numbers like this, and I see other people...
Like I said, I don't care about...
No, I know you don't care.
But there's a question about it.
But that's the question. This is what we're trying to do.
And we have somebody that's...
That is not on the agenda. What's on the agenda is to talk about...
Let me tell you, things like this should catch your attention, because that's alarming, that we have somebody that works here a year making that. You know, whenever somebody you know makes...
Okay, in my line of work, there's junior officers that make more than me.
How long has he been here? How long has Victor Valdez been here? The
a year? He's been a couple years?
I believe
years.
He's been here since 2014.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years.
No. And he's making that? I don't think that's fair.
Where I work at, there's police officers that...
I know, but that's,
we're not talking about
where,
that,
that's government, well, this is not government. This is tax people paying it.
This is our
what
money.
We pay. Government is totally different, and because I work for the
government employees, they get paid by their taxpayers as well.
Mm-hmm. But it's different, trust me.
Okay,
I think teachers deserve it, but I don't agree with some of these numbers look like. So,
I apologize to the board if there's been any confusion. It's just that we are in a position as the administration of bringing to you pay packages, and the issue is that the mandated minimum wage was kind of the monkey wrench that was thrown in. That is not our fault. It is what it is.
No, we're not saying it's. My thing is, like, I wish we could understand that it's required in January 2020.
Sorry,
required. Give me 1 second, okay? It is required. And by all means, they deserve it. I mean, I honestly think they deserve it and more. My thing is, like, I see some salaries where they're helping, they're working, but yet they went to school and did this, but yet there's other people that are making a lot more and work here a lot less. They've only been here not even a year, and they're making a lot more than what these people have been here for 3 years, and they're making more.
And that's still cost of living,
and
right?
And that's my understanding. I mean, that's what I see.
What's going to happen come January 2020? Are we only going to raise the ones that are making less than the minimum wage at that time? For example, this person right here.
Technically, that's what you're supposed to do.
Okay,
see, and that's my thing.
But
we're
not fair for the rest of them. You're talking about how somebody that's been here for so long is getting paid so much close to somebody that hasn't been here that long, right? So if we're talking about that,
So
why are we going to only raise that one person, right? And then at that time, January 2020, he's going to be close to making somebody that's been here for years.
So now tell me, are the janitors, they are here for really 8.5 hours a day?
8 hours.
Or 8 hours a day? Uh-huh. And do they clock
but
in and out?
They work all year round,
they
right?
They work 12 months.
Okay.
12 months. And so you're telling me that all these people, all these janitors are here every day, all year round, working?
Well, they work 40 hours a week for 12 months. Mm-hmm. But then they do get vacation.
Right.
They get personal leave days, sick leave days, mm-hmm. as per the contract, and you know they take it varyingly. So
then, Mr. Suarez, how long have you been here?
21 years.
21 years. Okay, so I think that's pretty alarming that he has been here 21 years and this guy makes that.
Okay, now this guy right
and
here.
And he's retired.
Now this guy right here, come January 2020, right? You're gonna have to raise him to at least 12, right?
Right.
And then you're gonna keep everyone else the same? How is that fair?
Well, this person is lucky they're here because they were supposed to be terminated anyway. So let's just say that. So I wouldn't be like whining about that. But
I want to caution the board that the agenda item is, strictly speaking, what pay package do you want to offer, if any?
But see, we have
not to discuss, hey, look, this individual seems to be earning much because then that's not on the agenda.
But that is, I'm wondering why the inconsistencies, and I think that's a valid question. So let's just say that this isn't due till January 2020. Let's either vote on this now or table it.
How about this? Give them the dollar raise now, and if you notice some discrepancies, we can talk about it at a future board meeting, those discrepancies.
I think we should go ahead and vote, and
what?
I think
we want to wait
till January 2020.
Take the dollar back? We can't take it back.
Can't take it back.
That's what I'm saying.
We need to investigate this and table it.
So if we do the contract, they do get, by doing the contract right now, they get that, the salary, the step up, right? That's an automatic, right?
Go ahead.
Which one are you on?
That is a very important question. I'd like Donna to go ahead and explain.
Which one are you on that?
The one step up, I thought that was an automatic for everybody.
What you folks decide on, the board decides on.
No, but see, every year we give them a step.
Yeah, we give them a step.
I thought we were still in.
We are, but she's just asking for a comparison, for example. So she's talking about this. So when we get to this one, we'll talk about this one.
Yeah, but that's a different agenda item. We're talking about this right now.
Okay, so let's deal with this one. Are you ready to take a vote on this one?
I think Donna was going to explain that because that was a very important question that Ms. Romero had asked.
But Mr. Olmos said that's a different agenda letter.
Let's see what Ms. Gordon has to say.
Well, your original question was that you wanted to see the difference on the salaries. It's not an automatic thing that we just give them a step. It's what you decide on. Since we presented these packages, so you want to either give them a step or the dollar or whatever.
But my understanding from what I, because I asked you, not this previous meeting, but the one before, the $800, was it separate from either the 5% or the 7%? You said yes. That's an automatic.
It's a step on the ladder, and that step is $800.
Right. When I say automatic, it's if the board approves that they are going to be given a one-step increase.
Yes, not automatic.
There is no automatic.
No. We do that for them.
But yeah, but what that's what I'm saying is like if they move up, then they that's that $800. Yeah,
but let me be real clear. If the board decided, we're going to give them a one-step increase and pay their insurance, I believe that is in the amount of an $800 increase, because every time you move the step, it's $800.
For the certified. For the classified, it's about a quarter.
Okay.
So that's not automatic. What's automatic is if the board decides, look, from 2017 to 2018, we're giving you the one-step increase. From 18 to 19, we're going to give you another step increase. But you have to vote on that. Automatic to me means
it kicks in.
It kicks in whether you vote for it or not.
And if I gave you that answer,
then I was in error. Okay. Because what I was referring to in automatic is that if you give a one-step increase and they move across, that's automatic.
Horizontal.
But you still have to vote on that.
Okay.
Right.
I thought it was a step increase. So the 800, we still have to vote.
And the 800 is for the teachers. Understand that.
And it is for the teachers. And those are the, is it classified and certified?
No.
800 is
right now we're solely dealing with the classified.
Okay.
And it's not 800 if they move over one step. It's
a quarter.
You say there's do you mean a quarter, like a 25 cents, or a quarter of?
No, it's 25 cents in between the steps and the classified.
Okay.
25 cents per hour. And there's 40 hours per week.
Okay. Okay.
So if we were to say, okay, it would be that 800 plus the dollar.
No, don't think 800 when you're thinking about classified.
So classified would be the dollar plus the 25 cents?
No. You could, but that's not what we're recommending.
Okay.
So if you do the quarter, the 25 cents, you're solely speaking about the classified employees.
Okay. The non-certified.
The non-certified.
Right.
The folks that are on that list, from
right.
Blanca Acuna all the way down to Franz and Valenzuela.
So they still get a quarter raise an hour.
If you decided to do
right.
that.
Okay.
But then come January...
The minimum wage increase out.
The minimum wage increase occurs.
Okay.
And it may affect some employees, but it would not affect all of them.
So it's not across
that
the board
correct,
by any
right.
means. Right. Okay.
But to be fair, you're recommending everybody get a dollar.
That's what we were recommending, but that, again...
Because see, that's why this one doesn't say minimum wage increase. The other one that you gave us did have the minimum wage increase on it.
This one does.
We're on...
Yours is different.
Yeah.
We're on classified.
This is different?
Is it different?
This is non-certified. It didn't say certified or non-certified. I figured out that out myself. This said non-certified.
So that is for classified personnel.
Does it say classified on there?
Well, it says classified under the agenda item.
Okay, so it said non-plus. Okay, classified.
And look, the first
but
page
classified
right here.
Is non-certified, dear.
Yeah, but the top of the page does say list of returning classified personnel.
I just put non-certified. Okay, gotcha. Okay, so where are we? Are we ready to make a decision on this? Because we just got briefed in there. About the situation that we're in.
To give them that $1 raise.
That's not what my motion is going to be. You can make a motion if you want.
I just think that we need to take...
Do we need more discussion or are we ready?
Their recommendation and be fair.
And I just don't want to do it because they're not recommending it until January 2020.
And I think we should be fair, but not with this.
Okay. That's a problem right there. That's what freaked me out when I saw
that. What's the problem? That some people are getting paid more than others?
No. Well, no. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong.
So how about this? That we give them that dollar raise, and that if you see some discrepancies, that we ask for an agenda item at a future board meeting.
This is a blanket. This is what we're doing now. So that's why I think we should either table this, or I'm going to make a motion to not approve this today,
right?
And just revisit it later.
So if we give them that dollar raise, everybody gets that dollar raise, right? But if you think that somebody should be getting paid more, then we can hold a board meeting to talk about that person.
That's pretty elaborate.
Am I wrong or am I right?
I would say that you are accurate. The board could always come back and say, look, for these three employees, we want to give them a pay raise. I would not ever recommend that to you because I believe you would then have a line going out the door.
Right.
In terms of, okay,
you're breaking up this whole
group. What about these other mm-hmm. employees?
Mm-hmm.
I will indicate to you that every single salary on there should not be a surprise. Every time we've offered a contract, or at least the year that I've been here, the contract has been offered and the salary is clearly stated
right.
on the employment letter. So if the board wants to have a discussion about, okay, why is it that this individual is being paid this and has only been here 1 or 2 years, but this individual is being paid this, that probably does have some merit, but it probably would be a different discussion.
Well, it would be a different discussion, and that's why I don't want to go into specifics about that, because it's a personnel issue. But that's why I would like to make a motion to not accept the item to give them the raise at this time without further investigation into it. Do I get a second?
So you're making that motion?
I am. Do we have more discussion? We've been on this. We have a lot more to do still. We can revisit this. We're going to have to revisit it, you know, regardless. But I think that there's some things that are unanswered here, and I would just like to make a motion to either table this or to not accept it at this time and revisit it at a later date. So I'd like to make a motion to not accept.
How about tabling this?
I really don't want to table it. I think we're beyond that. I would like to make a motion to not accept this at this time.
That's the same thing as tabling it, isn't it?
Well, tabling it, we just don't. Tabling it means we have to go to the next meeting. We have to go back and do this soon. You know.
Well, if we say not accept it at this time.
Well, that's still an open accepting. Technically, it doesn't have to be done until January 2020. And then we'll have our IRS resolved. If we get all in the squeaky clean and we're all fine and dandy, we can go ahead and say, "What you know, it's November, it's before Christmas, let's talk about this again." But I just know I have a lot of questions on this that didn't make sense to me.
I mean, that's my thing too, that a lot of it didn't make sense to me.
And we're talking about $358,000 and 64 cents.
What doesn't make sense? That somebody's getting paid more than...
No, not that.
I'm just using that as an example. That's all.
Not that.
I mean, it makes sense to me. Everybody got a dollar raise, be fair, and then that way we're in compliance with...
But we're not even due until 2020, and we have all these
problems.
Why
not make it now for 5 months? It's 5 months.
Because it's not due until January.
And I think it's gonna boost morale in this district.
Is anything going to really boost morale around here? Seriously? I've never seen anything so divisive and aggressive in my life.
Why don't we make a...
It's not going to... $1, throwing them a dollar is not going to pacify anybody. Trust me. Okay, let's take a vote then. I'd like to move that we do not approve the contract for the minimum wage increase that is required by January 2020.
I second that motion.
Ayes?
Aye.
Nay.
Nay.
Well, you already jumped against it. You got
that one. So that's, which one is that one? The E?
That was D, right?
No.
D was changed down.
Was that E?
Those returning employees were on E?
Yes.
Right.
So just for clarification, so we can make sure that the minutes are, that way we're not having to come back over and over. What the board has voted on is to not accept the recommendation that the classified employees receive a pay increase.
At this time, the minimum wage increase.
It's the minimum wage. That's why I'm doing this.
That it's due in January 2020.
That's why I'm doing this, to make sure that the minutes accurately reflect what the board has voted on.
Yes. Come January 2020, for those that are making less than minimum wage, you're going to be required to give them the minimum wage, and then that's going to cause some issues right there with the people that are close to making that minimum wage.
So the effect of your action then is that classified employees will continue to earn the salary that they had this school year, next school year.
Right.
The classified folks are frozen.
The what?
So it's the class. You're saying classified folks are salary frozen until December.
Well, no, the fact is, we also had a 1 step here. We have a 5 cent percent raise here. We have
We haven't discussed that.
We haven't discussed that
yet.
But I will tell you that
our
attorney advised us that this time all of our assets should be frozen. That is a fact, because of this money that is being questioned, because it is substantial. And so Denise said that we should consider freezing all of our spending until this is resolved. So that's why I'm treading lightly with this, too. And so I think, okay, so where are we? Let's get back. Do you understand what?
I think so. Okay.
So we've been told legal said we should freeze it because of this IRS thing. We had a horrible audit, and so we have some serious financial problems. Very similar to when Marsh was here, and that happened. Remember that amount? That's been very similar.
So at this time, you're also as far as the 25% step increase that the classified folks would normally get without respect
25%?
To 25 cent.
Oh,
That was the one that's coming up.
Thank you.
Appreciate you clarifying. That one's coming up.
Okay, so that is item E here. Okay, all right. So we're moving on to F, presentation, discussion, and action regarding the approval of the 1920 certified contracts. So that would be the salary with the step, and then the paying the additional insurance, and it says that the new increase in cost is this year, not next. This next year. Okay, so we have 800. And Payne, I think you guys were here when Payne did the talk, and he said that by the red for red money and that increase, that if we are giving people a step, we're giving them the $800. We're paying for the insurance because the insurance went up. A lot of school districts do not pay insurance at all. You have to pay for it yourself. And he said that that still exceeded the red for red money. And so he thought that that seemed fair to him. And he works with all the school districts. So, again, I think in light of that, I think that we should approve. We have on here, though, that's the problem. We have Conalog and Reese on here, and that's on the certified salary thing. So we should probably...
We didn't change the salary schedule.
Right.
But it's the contracts that are going to be issued that supersedes that issue.
So maybe we should table this until we get...
No, I don't... Well, you can table it if you want, but I don't recommend that this be tabled. And
but we have the two people on here that resigned.
But
we haven't even approved...
That's just an example of the... All we need to worry about is the finances, right?
Right.
Not look at the names.
Okay.
And I have to say, just in fairness here for me is... You have a different interpretation, Ms. Walker, of what Mr. Payne indicated than what we have. The red for ed money, given the increase in enrollment that we had, the increased ADM, we believe allows the board to be able to give, and that's why we put the 5% package there. So when you say that, giving a one-step increase with the insurance being paid supersedes or exceeds the red for ed money, I just want to be on record of saying that I don't agree with that statement. That's not the figures that we've been. Donna, if you could shed some
light
on that.
You can play with the numbers, but Mr. Payne said when we were an executive. He did just say that we, and then he came out here and did his presentation. He said that we're doing a lot more than a lot of other schools because they said that we were paying their insurance. The insurance went up. They're getting the step, and that was probably considerable, considering a lot of people didn't get that.
But he also said that we should that for this next school year there's going to be a what percent increase? 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 5 or 4?
Five.
I have it right here.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the base level amount that it went up to $4,200 per student, $112 of that is just the red for ed money. I multiplied that times the number of teachers. At that time when I was doing it was the 14 teachers. That came up to $43,000. So just the red for ed money taken out of the base level, you have plenty of money to take care of that 5%.
What about 7%?
You've got, you'd have to take a little bit out of the regular base level to do that.
Now, are we going to have money to do that?
Yes, you would.
And that 5% is putting us over $500,000.
That's total salaries.
Right.
And I have $700,000 or $800,000 budgeted in that. $769,000 budgeted in that line of teachers.
Okay.
That's why we were saying you can safely give 7, But if you didn't want to do that, then we wanted to offer you the 5%
package. But why 7? Where did you come up with 7?
Because of the increase in ADM.
But that doesn't always hold.
Go ahead and explain that, please.
Well, the ADM has given us over $3 million. And as I said earlier, I put most of that into the salary line and the benefits line to take care of that, because the base level amount minus the $112 takes care of all the supplies, the utilities, the insurance. I increased most of them by 5 or 10%, like the insurance and stuff like that, because of the way things go year to year. But we would still be covered for this next year.
And here's the other thing. I need to remind you that our audit this year said that we got dinged for one student that didn't have all the documents in order. It cost us almost $10,000. They said that we had 28 suspicious, and that if I tried, remember I tried to have them adjust it or to revisit it, and they said they wouldn't do that. Because if they wanted to, we're going to revisit it, that they were going to look at our other 28, and we're probably looking at least 10 grand for each one of those students.
But they also indicated that for those other 26 or 27 students, that they required the school district to provide them further documentation, which the school district did. As a result of the providing of that additional documentation, the only sole student that was remaining was the one, and then we appealed, and we came back and said, okay, well, it's not going to be worth it in reference for information that you well know. And so from that standpoint, every year we are audited for ADM, but it is not uncommon for the auditors to come in and say, we have questions on 25 kids. But then if we don't present to them the documentation that they need and require, well, then yes, you're on the hook for that. But we were able to do that.
But the question is, why are they getting pushed through without the documentation? Because you have to have all those documents in order before you even send
them. But we had the documentation. It's just that when the auditors came into this room and they have the packets of information, it's great if we have all the information in that packet, but many times that's not the case.
Right.
In which case, then, Miss Elias was busy working, and we were able to get them that documentation, and that is very good news. So from that standpoint, I don't see how that impacts the presentation that Miss Horton has made in terms of what is available there for the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is, because the question I think originated, so how did you figure on 7%? And that's what I think she was about to describe. So the 5% is easy to look at, because that one is the red for red money.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you then get to the 7%?
The additional...
let me ask you, the 5%, when are we talking about this has to kick in?
It would kick in at their contract, beginning of their contract.
Which would be new the first paycheck, year. Which is what, in August?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so 7 now. I'm sorry.
The 7% came for the additional amount of the base level support, which increased this year, and the additional ADM that we had. So that took care of the additional amount from the 7 to the 5%, which was, you know, it was about a little over $13,000. But yet, when I figured $112 times our ADM, that came up to about $43,000. So that was very close to what the 7% increase is. That's $44,000.
So what if the ADM goes down? Because, I mean, before we've been, like I told you, we were up to 100 over 20 students frequently.
Ms. Walker, the ADM may go down.
Right.
It fluctuates. Some years it goes down, some years it goes up.
Right.
But the money that is being presented to the district is for the ADM of the year that just happened.
Right.
So the state doesn't come in later and say, whoops, you were at 316 and now you're at 290. It's going to have an impact on this coming year. It will have an impact on that following year.
So they don't go back.
No. So here's the other question, though. When we talk about transportation, we used to pay $100,000 forever. And then just this last year, we started paying $1 million to transport our kids to Bisbee High. And so with the increased EADM...
No, are you talking about the tuition?
The tuition. The tuition, will it go up with the ADM moving...
ADM, our ADM has nothing to do with the tuition that we pay
But the
out.
Tuition goes by population for...
True.
How many goes in there?
Yes, but it's outside the budget limit. So whatever we've set in our budget, we add on that $1 million. Say our budget...
But why did it go up to a million from 800,000?
Because that's way Bisbee has to formulate with their budget.
So it doesn't have anything to do with our numbers?
No.
And the money that comes in for that is kind of like a pass-through. The money does come into the district, and we turn it right around.
Throw it back.
And it's headed to Bisbee.
So.
And just to be, for the benefit of the new board members, the reason that we have to pay tuition is that these are NACO boundary students, but we don't have a high school in NACO.
Right.
And so what Bisbee says is, wait a minute, we're a different school district. So if we're going to educate your students, because you don't have a high school in NACO, then we're going to charge you tuition because the NACO students need a high school education. And so Bisbee is the closest school district. So Bisbee turns around and says, okay, well then, you'll pay us tuition. The state says, we understand that NACO doesn't have a high school. So here comes this money, as though we did have a high school. But since we don't, we take that money and we send it right to Bisbee.
But see, when we send them to Bisbee, we get paid by the numbers.
But we
don't just pay for our kids. We pay for all the kids that come from across to go to high school, too.
But they're in our resident, and they've probably been here in eighth grade.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when I look at the Bisbee student record from the ADE, it tells me how many are NACO students and how many are in that grade. Well, they have four grades. There's about 120, 119 students is what we're getting charged for.
119?
119.
Okay. And we had, 40 graduate?
Yeah, but every year you're getting about 40 more.
Right. Or more. Right.
Right. So there's your 120 going in that we're being charged for. The difference is they have to use their budget numbers to... see how much a regular ed student is costing them, then they take that amount and then multiply it by the 119 students, and that's what we end up getting charged.
Well, here's another question for you. So if one of our students drops out, mm-hmm. they don't get a hold of us and say, okay, now it's dropped. They never do that.
But it fluctuates on that ADM form
right.
that they have to show that that student's been withdrawn.
Mm-hmm.
So it does come off the roll.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And see, we never paid tuition until Covington, and then that's when it all happened.
But it's a statute that we have to go
right.
by.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was a good run. Okay. So, what do you guys want to do? Are you ready to vote on this?
7%.
But we have people on here that are resigned.
No, but we're just focusing on the finances. We're not focusing on the personnel.
So there's not going to be a contract issued for the people that resigned. Okay, so Ms. Reese and Ms. Conalog, if you agree that you're going to give the teachers a contract tonight, you will not have a contract for either of those teachers.
I'm going to question
and
I'm telling you. Okay.
Now, that's okay because those two teachers have already indicated in writing we're not returning.
Okay.
Now, who will fill those positions are the individuals that are going to be hired to fill their positions, and they will be the beneficiary of whatever contract you determine. So if you decide to give a 7% pay increase, well, then they're going to come in and they're going to earn 7% more than they would have if they had come last year. So
why would they get 7% more?
Well, because you're moving the whole salary schedule up by 7%. If you agree to a 7% increase. And so it's not that like that teacher, the new teacher is getting 7% more. They're just coming into an environment that has just been populated by 7% more because you increase the salary schedule. Or not. I mean, that's certainly going to be up to you.
So by increasing the salary schedule, trying to give the teachers that we have now, trying to pump them up, whoever comes in new...
is the beneficiary.
Is the beneficiary, because they'll be starting... So we're pumping up the ladder? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, pretty much, yes.
And see, like the 5%, we're looking at the budget for a half a million with the additional of another 25,000 plus, and it's hitting us over a half a million. The 7%, we're paying almost a half a million, additional 35,000, and we're way over half a million on there, on the 7.
In relationship,
and that doesn't even
to
include
Elias
and Morgan and Rodriguez.
In
the total. Oh, let's look at the total number. Actually, it is way over. It's $679,000 for 2020 for the 7%, an additional $44,454, and where the budget right now is at $635,000. So it's over a half a million on the 7%, and then the budget for the 5 is $635,069, an increase of 5% is $31,000, almost $32,000, and then the 2020 is 5% is $666,822, so over half a million there. For how many teachers?
We have the budget for it, right?
Yes.
And that extra 2%, if you think about it, is not compared to, overall, it's not that much of a...
But our budget's kind of screwed right now.
But yeah, we're going to have the budget, but why not give it to them?
Well, that's the thing. Okay. I mean, my best option would be if we already have it. Okay, we're counting with it. We have it here. Let's give it to them. But if we're like, well, we might have it, we might not have it, why...
But
I don't
like that. We do have it.
That's why I would rather go with the 800, the step...
That's a slap in the face of the teachers, and we at the bare minimum we have to do the 5% to be in compliance with Red for Ed.
But we're not due to do Red for Ed yet.
It's due now. It's due as of July.
But if we have the budget, why not do the 7%? That extra 2% is not that much of a difference. Is it going to really impact our school district?
7%?
Yes. That extra 2% from the 5%.
Right, but you're forgetting about our financial situation.
But this is a completely new budget that has nothing to do with that.
But it's not a guaranteed thing.
But at the bare minimum, we're going to have to do the 5%. You have to. Because of Red for Ed. Why not do that little bit extra 2%? It's not that much of a difference.
And we're going to have to hire more teachers. That's the other thing.
Two.
No, we're going to need more than two. We're going to need two. We have a whole slew of, fifth graders going up to six?
Here's what it is.
Because give us the numbers on this. How many students we have? And
we have
one,
about,
two.
We have about 54 students that are going from fifth grade to sixth grade.
Okay.
We had two eighth grade classes that just graduated.
Right.
Okay. Next year, we have one eighth grade class because we had one seventh grade class.
Okay.
So it kind of evens out,
right,
so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have one eighth grade class now because we had one seventh grade class. Assuming we don't get a whole bunch of eighth graders coming in, which I don't think is going to happen.
Right.
But we do have more fifth graders than we had sixth graders. So the teacher that is, because they're all teaching everything.
Right.
So the middle school teachers teach all the sixth graders, all the seventh graders, all the eighth graders.
Okay.
And so they're just going to teach fewer eighth graders, but they're going to teach more sixth graders.
So how many fourth do you have going up to five?
I'm sorry?
You said five is going up to...
No, grade five.
Right, grade five
grade
is going
five
up to grade six. 54. There's 54. And so we have... What do we have in the fifth grade now, coming up from four?
We have one fourth grade class that is going to be a fifth grade class. Whereas last year we had 2 fifth grade classes, next year we should have one. Because we only had 1 fourth grade class.
Okay.
So that the fifth grade class, that's the one that, that's, is that the biggest one we have?
That's
going
to, that's
going to
be, no. The fourth grade class was 27. That'll be the new fifth grade class.
Yeah, but the fifth, we had 2 fifth grade.
But we had 2 fifth grade that'll become
two sixth
grade.
Okay.
But then we had 2 eighth grade that will only be one.
One.
So it's kind of evening out.
Yeah.
Where we do need a teacher, or where you're going to need a teacher, is we have combo classes in second, and second, third that nobody likes them.
It's not
and
good.
The recommendation is that if we hire one more elementary teacher, in addition to the teachers that you have there, if we just hire one more elementary teacher, that should take care of the issue of not needing to make combo classes.
Mm-hmm.
Straight first grade, straight second grade, straight third grade. Okay,
which
we still need to deal with the ELL, but the ELL with the new law does not require the 4-hour block anymore, and that's going to be a real positive.
Yay.
Okay, so where you're going to have more kids is going to be first grade, because we have 2 kindergarten classes, so we'll need 2 first grade teachers. I believe we're going to need 1 second grade teacher, 2 third grade teachers. Fourth grade is going to be, we might be able to swing it with 1. Fifth grade is 1. Sixth grade is 2. Seventh grade is 2. Eighth grade is 1.
Can
so
I miss
we're
the first grade?
We're going to
need how many for
we're,
one?
We're going to need 1 more elementary teacher additional.
Right.
And then you could use another middle school teacher, but if I was returning, I probably would be recommending to the board, let's get somebody in fine arts.
Right.
Or let's get somebody, that way we can increase the electives that we have.
Right.
But again, that certainly is going to be your choice. The new superintendent may look at it differently, but when we fix the master schedule, 1 is almost a requirement, and so the question that I asked Ms. Horton is, if the board accepted a 7% increase for the teachers, can we still afford to hire the 1 more additional teacher? The answer is yes. The answer is yes, but then you have to decide that.
But
okay,
what if we need to hire several teachers? Are we going to have...
You're not going to need to hire several more teachers.
But we have 40 kids, and sometimes in kindergarten. How many kids do we have registered for kindergarten?
You're still going to have 2 kindergarten sections. So if you have 40 children come in, and the last time I checked, we were at about 34, 35.
You see, 20 kindergartners is a lot.
Well, 20 kindergarten is actually not bad. It's kind of the norm. When you get to 22, 24, it becomes problematic. This year we were blessed. We had, first of all, we had 2 really good teachers. Second of all, we had 17 kids in each class. 17, 16. So next year, those are going to become first graders. We'll need the 2 teachers there, and we're eliminating the combo.
Okay.
So that's why you need the extra teacher. Okay? But what the administration is recommending to the board is, you can afford it.
We need 2 elementary.
We have to hire right now without... How many teachers do we have to hire right now?
You have to hire an elementary to replace Ms. Reese. You have to hire a special ed teacher to replace Ms. Conwell.
How about Mr. Vasquez?
No, he's a parapro.
But I thought we still needed 1 more if we're going to break up the splits.
Correct.
But that's
that would
the
be
one
the
that
third.
He's...
And that's what
yeah.
I was
that's
leading
the third one.
That's the third one.
And you think
one
is going to be enough?
But these 2, you're not adding to the budget with these 2. Because all you're doing is replacing.
They're in place already.
Okay.
Right. This is the one you'd be adding to the budget.
Okay.
The new one.
The new one.
The elementary.
And if you decide to hire yet 1 more to deal with fine arts or to add to the middle school, then that right there, that second teacher, then it does get a little tighter in the budget.
Right.
But the 1 you can do.
Mm-hmm. The 2 we can do.
No.
And the 2 you can do, but you'd be
tight.
Okay.
So that's why we presented you with the 3 packages.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if on the 5%, that's most. That's going to be for the certified teachers, right?
You're essentially giving them the red for ed money.
But it's not really the red for ed money, right?
Sure it is.
You're calling it the red for ed money, but because they asked for the 5%.
Yes.
And then next year it's 5%, or it goes down next year.
It goes down to about 4, I think.
4, I think yeah. So, okay.
No, it's 5.
No, I thought
still.
It was 9,
it's,
5,
and
you,
no.
5.
Yeah, it's 5. Okay,
it's 5.
Still,
I'm sorry.
It's it goes 5.
And so then, okay, so then that is due, we have to get into that in August, by August. 5%.
Well, that's when
July.
The pay would kick in.
Kick in. Oh, but when are we required to do it, the 5%?
Isn't that in July?
You need to get
today.
It was settled in July.
It has to kick in.
But is that required by law? Is that a juicy thing?
Well, here's the issue.
Because that's the new
is
school.
That if
right.
Whatever you decide on, Ms. Horton then needs to put it on the contract. Then you sign the contract, and then we say to the teachers, hey, heads up, you got, 10 days? You got 10 days to sign your contract and get it back to us.
But what if there are people on this tonight that we're questioning whether they're beneficial here, then we can't even pass this with this list.
But if you're doing that, and if you have concerns about a particular employee
mm-hmm.
that has not been agendized.
No. It has to be addressed. That's what I'm saying. That's why we should table this.
But you're only going to choose one of the three packages. That's all you're there to do. At this point.
What were these current people on here?
No, don't worry about the people. All
okay.
we need to worry about is the budget.
Yeah.
And in those people that the two that are on here don't have a contract. You wouldn't see the contract for those two people.
Right.
They're on here, but they really
they're gonna be replaced anyway.
Yeah, they're not coming back.
Okay.
I mean, why doesn't it show her on the 5%? She doesn't count for the 5%.
She's not a certified.
She
as
doesn't
a long-term
certified.
Sub, she would not be. And this
well, because
we
she
got,
is not.
We got her from U of A South.
Yeah,
so,
but she. But
she's not
she
certified.
Is, okay.
In essence, she is not the beneficiary of any pay package you agree to, because
oh.
she's a long-term sub.
Okay. Okay.
I think the 7%.
I would go with the 7 too.
The 7?
Yes.
Why not the 5 that were required?
But we can afford that extra 2% easily.
I think I would go with the 7, especially for them.
But, you know, this last year with all this dissension and chaos and division and aggression and BS, and I don't know who. I think
but
5.
The thing is that I
why not 5?
We give
but
the 7,
we'll
get rid
great.
Of the BS.
The kids were, I mean, there were a lot of things going on, but they took care of our kids too.
But
so.
We're not going to tolerate this next year. We can't tolerate this disrespectful.
I'm sure that won't happen if we give them the 7.
You think so?
I know so.
No, well, we're not bribing them. We're not doing it because we're. I'm going.
It's like a bribery like, money. Is that
no,
what it is? Bribery?
For me, it's not a bribery. For me, it's because they deserve it. That's my opinion.
But why
7
and not 5? That the state is recommending 7.
Because my.
I mean, the state
is
recommending 5. They're not recommending 7.
The state recommends 5. Yes, because part of it has to do with the red for red.
Uh-huh.
But if we can do that other 2%, I think we should.
So what are we going to do? Okay, what are we going to do next year? I mean, we can't go up any more further. Than
well, next, and that's the thing that they have to understand.
They
need
to drop.
Next year, we're not going to go up.
But see, the thing is, is it our financially, we're not really
just a little bit to be in compliance with the.
I know, but
and
see,
I know it's not the same funds, but in real action, in
no,
reality,
and the thing is that
our financial problem.
Our financial problem, yes, I think it's really.
You wouldn't be willing to consider 5.
But the with my thing is
no
2% is not that it's not that
I
much.
Think they deserve it
5%. I mean,
so the,
yeah,
that's so
that's
if we do the
7
this 800. Doesn't
I don't
no.
we don't do nothing.
No.
So it's either
you're
eight,
exceeding
so
that.
So it's either the 800, the 5, or the 7.
Right. The 800 represents a step.
Me.
The 5% is kind of the middle of the road. It's the red bread money. The 7% is the rent for plus the increase in ADs.
I know, but I'm just saying that I'm not.
You can still pay your bills, and you can still buy that third teacher.
We'll get to that.
Another
agenda item.
And the other piece for the administration about why we were so insistent on this is that it's always important for NACO to kind of stay in some sort of range of the surrounding districts, because then it does become harder for whatever superintendent is here to recruit teachers. If the teacher says, wait a minute, I could work at Palominos or I could work for Bisbee, same job, and earn this much more money.
Well, here's my other argument. I hate to say this, but with people writing letters to the editor, all the surveys, misrepresenting people, saying that somebody signed something and then him having to write a retraction and say, I never said that, and having people sign things that they aren't even allowed to read, all that stuff, that is taken away from their teaching. And that's another reason I think that I would accept a 5, and I'm not going for 7, but you guys can go ahead
They're exercising their First Amendment rights.
Whenever you're threatening people and throwing beer bottles at their car,
do you know for sure who did it? Anyways, I don't want to get into that.
They exhibited enough aggression in here that was blatant, so.
I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay, I'm going to make a motion to do a 5% increase. Do I get a second?
No. I'll make a motion to do a 7% increase.
I second the motion.
All right.
Sorry.
Aye.
I'm tired.
Nay.
Aye.
Right. 2 ayes, 1.
So just to be clear, just like we did for the other item, the board voted 2-1
to offer the teachers
a 7% pay increase, and that would also include paying the individual employees' insurance.
That is correct.
But I want to know a monetary amount on the insurance next time we come back.
I think you gave it to us. Yes. Wasn't you that the...
It was on the Friday report.
It was on the
per person.
No.
No, for the overall, it increased $6,700.
Okay. All right.
$6,700.
Okay.
So I got the action correct, right?
Yes, 2-1 for 7.
And you understand that the employee's insurance is being paid.
Yes.
That is part of that.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And it ended up being a motion being made by Mr. Olmos, seconded by Ms. Romero, and it was 2 ayes, 1 nay.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
All right, we're clear?
Yes.
So, Ms. Horton has present here the contracts for the certified teachers, absent the two that are leaving, so that at the end of the meeting, she will present those for the board to sign, and then I will communicate with all the teachers for them to then sign their contracts, and probably the new superintendent will probably be collecting them and bringing them.
I think we haven't done that item yet.
What?
For the certified contracts?
No, we just did.
I thought we were doing the increase regarding the approval of the 20 classified
contracts.
We're on F. Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm assuming that because you offered them a pay raise and you're paying their insurance, that you're offering them a contract.
One question.
Well, we're offering the teachers that.
No,
that's the next one is the classified letter.
So by offering them the pay increase, you're essentially offering them the contract.
One question: if we, I'm not sure what's going on, but I guess there's one of the teachers that there's been issues with that it's not one of the ones that have left already. Can we go back to that contract, or once that contract is signed, it's signed?
It's signed.
It's signed. What the administration acting for the board would then do is the investigation. And the administration would then go through the disciplinary process if indeed it's warranted.
I think we should wait till we have another superintendent, and we should let him address it, because this could be his staff.
I would accept that recommendation because there's nothing I'm going to be able to do in the short time that I have left. But it is independent and is a separate item mm-hmm. than what you just did.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. And that's why something needs to be in an executive session.
So we moved D down to below G. And we did D.
So we just did F, right?
Yes.
Okay. We did F.
And we're at G.
We're at G. Well, F is a certified.
We just did
contracts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the certified one.
And then G is a classified.
And these are the letters of employment for our classified staff.
And so we have the classified staff. That's, I want to get just make sure, because these are all jumbled up. There's not broken down to para and all that. Mm-hmm. So Acuna Blanca, she's a paraprofessional. Miguel is
custodian.
Gariela is a paraprofessional.
Yes.
Julie DeVoe, Julie, we know she's our librarian.
No, we're doing the G.
Maria Estrada, the kitchen.
Cafeteria.
Evan Buss. Francis Mendez.
Custodian.
Oh, and you know, there's something else I wanted to bring up, too, about this. Custodian, and then Maritza, she's an aide.
Parapro.
Azalea Oviedo.
Parapro.
Armando Suarez.
Custodian.
Valdez, custodian. Or he's groundskeeper.
Maintenance.
Okay, and then Victor, para. And Francis Valenzuela. See, that threw me. That's Sally, huh?
No.
They have the same last name.
Panchita. Oh.
Yeah, there's two Valenzuelas in the cafeteria. One is the
Panchita.
Cafeteria manager.
Yeah.
That's Celia. And Francisca is the cafeteria worker.
And did you discuss with your staff about the complaints about graduation, about the drinking situation? Have you addressed that?
No, I didn't, because it wasn't, there was no evidence. There is nothing.
Well, I've had parents calling me about that.
Well, I didn't have any calls other than the conversation that you had with me, and I didn't have any evidence. So without evidence, what is it that you want me to do?
Well, somebody witnessed it, so...
Well, if somebody witnesses it, they have a responsibility to come and see me, but...
If they were to come and see you, and talk to you, like a parent...
And they talk to her, too. They complain to her.
If the parent comes and talks to you, what kind of action would that be taken?
Well, I would then launch an investigation.
Okay.
So, I mean, when you spoke to me, and again, this isn't agendized...
Right, but that's what it has to do with this.
When you spoke to me, you indicated, hey, somebody came and told me that this is what happened. And it's like, well, nobody told me. And I didn't notice that I had any employees that were having any kind of problems. So there's nothing for me to investigate.
With that being said, I want to remind you that I am a police officer, and I have a lot of training, a lot of experience with dealing with drunks. And I did not witness anything that is being reported.
Let me tell you, numerous people have told me they were seen leaving the gay 90s.
Okay, they might have left the gay 90s,
that,
but that's not
and
saying
that they
drink.
Heard that they came into the entryway and were highly exaggerated and loud and obnoxious. And so...
I did not witness that at all.
And Mr. Olmos and I were seated next to each other, and... We didn't.
And they were all sitting with you guys.
Well, but we
right?
didn't. I had
They're all sitting
you,
around you guys, and none of you smelled.
I did not notice any smell. I did not notice anybody that was around me that was in any way impaired or that I thought was impaired. You did inform me that there were individuals that felt that, but those individuals did not come and see me.
Well, and actually, there's somebody in the gay 90s that saw them in there for hours drinking.
Okay.
So.
They didn't report it.
They did report it. They called two members of the board.
All right, so where were we at?
Okay, we are on...
To approve these the classified contract rates?
At this point, the board had an extensive discussion on the issue of if there's going to be a salary increase, and I think you decided that you were not going to deal with that issue. The recommendation from the administration is, at the very least, you should offer them a letter of employment, because then at that point, that tells the classified staff, I have employment for next year.
Well, I think the majority of these people are guaranteed a job for next year, but the other thing is that their insurance is carrying through July.
But without you taking action on a letter of employment, then in July, it runs through June 30th.
June 30th, yes.
So in July, if they're not on contract, they can't work for the 12-month employees. For example, let me take an employee that is a 12-month employee, Mr. Suarez. Mr. Suarez is a 12-month employee, and so his contract is up, or his letter of employment is up June 30th or June 28th. That's that Friday. On July 1st, if you have not offered him at the very least a letter of employment, then he can't show up on July the 1st, Monday. And if he does show up, he's being turned away because he has no contract.
So if we offer a contract to somebody for that sake, and then we there needs to be some discussion about whether that person should be coming back or not, we can't really just pull their contract.
You're talking about a certified personnel, right?
All I'm talking about here is the hourly employees.
Well, and that applies to a couple of those others too, the certified and the classified. There's a couple there.
This is just the employees that are on that first list from Blanca Acuña through Francisco Valenzuela. Now, for example, Blanca Acuña is not going to report to work until, I believe, August the 1st or so. But Miguel Acuña...
But her insurance starts in July also, right? Everything starts in July?
Yes.
We need to address this, too, because this was the non-certified, but we didn't address this bottom part here.
Correct.
And we need to vote on that.
So, essentially, when you're dealing with everybody from Blanca Acuña to Francisco Valenzuela, you also have to deal with Francisco Elias through Celia Valenzuela and Donna Horton.
Right, exactly. So, we're on...
Because they're all classified.
Okay, so we should do that now. Right? We're on G.
Yeah.
We ready?
I can make a motion.
Okay.
I'll make the motion to approve all classified.
Are you sure?
All what?
All classified, yeah. So this whole list right here. And the whole list right here. Right?
Right.
Those are the classifieds, right?
Those are the classifieds.
Just so that I can be straight for the record, can I just read the names into the record?
Yeah.
Okay.
Blanca Acuña. And correct me if any of these are wrong. Blanca Acuña, Miguel Acuña, Yariela Borges, Jewel DeVoe, Maria Estrada, Evan Hubbard, Francis Mendez, Maritza Olivares, Azalia Oviedo, Armando Suarez, Ramon Valdez, Victor Valdez, Francisca Valenzuela, Francisca Elias, Julie Morgan, Francisco Rodriguez, Celia Valenzuela, and my understanding is you also want to include Donna Horton.
That's correct.
Yes. Okay. And then,
then there is only one TBA.
But we can't really vote on it.
You can't vote on it. There's no contract to issue because...
That could be anybody.
Because that could be anybody. But the new superintendent will probably bring you a name.
It's a
so tenant. Those are the employees you would be voting on.
But, okay. Well, what about Sharon Christie? She hasn't given...
She falls under Sharon Christie. She hasn't said anything yet. Okay. So we're still counting with her coming back. Unless she gives...
She doesn't have to sign the contract.
There's no contract.
That's what I mean.
It's basically a long-term sub.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a
But she's not bound.
Letter of employment.
Yes.
But she's not bound by anything.
Letter of employment?
Yes.
Okay.
And she would be paid the long-term sub rate. But she would not be the beneficiary of the 7% increase that you voted on.
Right.
Until she became a teacher. Now, if she leaves, then it's a moot issue. Because then the new superintendent is going to have to hire another math teacher.
So she's not included in this.
So she's not included in this, but she would be included with the teachers as a long-term sub.
Okay.
But not with the 7% pay.
Is that a different agenda item?
This is D that we moved down, right?
No, we're still on G. We're still on the
D was below G.
That is a very good question, Mr. Olmo, so I would include her with this group.
Christy.
Just so that we can at least give her the long-term subcontract.
Okay.
If indeed she returns. So let's add Sharon Christie.
Add Sharon
for the
Christy.
Purposes of this.
She's on it, though.
Yes, she is.
Okay.
Right, so, like he didn't read her.
Right.
He didn't.
All right, so I would like to make a motion to approve letters of employment for all personnel that were mentioned by Dr. Morales.
Including Sharon Christie.
Including Sharon Christie, yes. Can I get a second, please?
A second.
Aye.
Aye.
So, again, what you voted on is that you are offering a letter of employment for all of those employees, but you have not voted on a pay increase.
That's not, that's classified.
Okay, so all you're saying is these employees are offered a letter of employment, and you may at some point in the future address any pay increase.
Okay.
And that is a 3-0 vote with Mr. Olmos making the motion, Ms. Romero seconding.
Right.
And it's 3 A's, 0 nays. All right.
Moving on.
Yep. To which one now?
H. Okay, so this is a presentation discussion action regarding the parent request to have their student enter into kindergarten before its 5th birthday. We talked about, is it a precedence? And so we kind of made a decision to have him tested. And did you guys see the results of his testing?
No.
Well, he he knew his numbers, and Ms. Rhodes did it. And
yeah.
He knew his numbers from 0 to 10. And he knew his primary colors. He three things, jumping, skipping, and hopping, and something else. He knew 3 out of the 4, or 2 out of the 3, something like that. And so, but where's Cole, something del Sol, that Head Start, where's that?
That is behind the...
Behind the gas station?
Behind the gas station.
Is that
station.
The one in Bisbee?
Mm-hmm.
The something del Sol?
Something called Jimmy?
Oh.
Jimmy's Eats, or something like that?
Well, tell me this. Does this boy live in district? Because we were considering, a district thing.
I believe he is a NACO student.
Okay.
He is a NACO resident.
Okay.
That's what my understanding was from the last meeting, that he is a NACO resident.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the petition is because he's one day outside of the boundary, given that what Ms. Rhodes has indicated, that he is mature enough to start kindergarten, the recommendation of the administration is that you grant him entrance. And we don't believe this opens the floodgates, because any parent can make this request, but so far only one other has showed up, but then they didn't give me the documentation. So
they never brought it back.
They never brought it. So at this
Well, that's point, why I would prefer to do it, like if you say one day, or it's only one day, then it's 2 days. My son's only 2 days, then 3 days. And so that gives us a gauge to rely on that's consistent, that are they really ready or not? And he obviously is. And so that way it's not just we're not picking and choosing who is coming in and who can't. And that way it gives us a parameters about assisting us in justifying it is all.
Mm-hmm.
So are we ready?
Yes.
I'd like to move to accept our little fifth grader, our five-year-old fifth grader. Our little kindergartner is coming in at his parents' request because he's passed his testing and he seems like he's ready and he's only one day off, and so I think moved that we approve him.
I'll second the motion.
Ayes?
Aye.
Aye.
I will inform the parent tomorrow and send them a letter.
Okay. Okay. Presentation, discussion, action regarding a letter of agency from the Cochise County E-Rate Consortium. And so when I spoke to you, we had missed that on the agenda, and they said Ms. Morgan had something to offer as far as competitive. And then this is kind of interesting, and I really am curious about this more than anything. So the E-Rate, you know, we did the E-Rate Consortium for years, right?
We were never involved in a consortium ever.
Huh?
We've never been involved in a consortium ever.
E-Rate?
We did E-Rate.
All right.
But never as a member of a consortium.
So it says that we paid our E-Rate last year, and it was put into the wrong year. So the question is, was it put into a past year? Was it put into a future year? If it's put in the future year, we shouldn't even know.
Miss Walker, can you tell me what page you're on?
I'm getting
it's
it.
The, it's the
78, I think 78. Okay. It says, let me find it. And there's some other answers. I'll say it says context. A review of E-rate expenditures for 5,051 found the expenditure was recorded in the wrong fiscal year.
I was unaware of that.
I know. But I was saying the money went out, but it went into a different year.
And just for clarification purposes, because you and I had a brief discussion before the meeting started, I haven't had an opportunity to speak
right.
to Ms. Horton. I was not aware this year, 18-19.
Right.
I was not aware that we had anything to do with E-rate.
They said that our last year was 17.
Now,
that sounds right.
The year before I got here, because the Heinfeld-Meach audit is for school year 17-18.
It says it
predominantly.
It says it ended June 18, but it proceeded whenever the money happening throughout the year, because some of those were all the way up to October, November.
Right. Now, what the letter of agency is stipulating is Cochise County is going to enter into the contract, and Cochise County superintendent is saying, hey, school districts, do you want to be involved in this consortium? If you do, then you'll be the beneficiaries of the technology line that's coming in. And the difference is, I just don't know what to say after 100. It's 100 what?
If I may.
Yes.
Apparently the new line, does it say 10,000 meg? Does it really say that? For about 800 some dollars? No, sorry.
It ends up being, my understanding was $50 more a month. But we get 10,000 as opposed to the 100 that we have now.
Okay.
This is the number I got from him yesterday.
I'm trying to bring the numbers back into my mind.
Because I'm getting these from you.
Yeah. We would pay $500 to be a part of this consortium.
Right.
And that's not E-rateable. That would be sort of out of pocket from what I understand. For that, and then we would also have a monthly charge to pay for our internet line. That monthly charge is on. Do you guys have the number there?
No.
Okay. So there would be the $500 to join the commercial and a monthly charge, and get like a 10 gig line. Right now we have a 100 meg line, and we pay about $300 a month before E-rate reimbursement. We're a 90% school, which means that we get 90% of that reimbursed back to us from E-rate. So
with
the
100 meg,
right. For $300 minus 90% of 300.
Okay.
And that's the 100 meg is sufficient. It's fine. We can work with it. It has not been a problem. A super speedy line would be really nice. We would go through the pain point of switching providers. It this is just now getting, it's a construction project. I talked to the fellow at the county today. He said, he gave the name of a company who I had never heard of, who is providing the line.
Did you know Joe Casey up at the county?
Cox is, they went out for bids. This company I had not heard of got the bid. Cox is contesting that, saying that the bidding was not, my understanding was that the bidding was, Cox is contending that something was wrong. So it's a lot. So this construction project, we would need to have our current system certainly through this coming year, even if we buy into the consortium.
Okay. Because the E-rate people, I talked to Joe Casey, you know him through the county, he's the IT director.
That is who I talked to.
Okay, and then the guy that I talked to was from the E-rate out of, oh, Joe Casey, he's probably was the one up at, no, that's the Bisbee number. Oh, I talked to Frank Vanderhurst, who's the E-rate manager, and he said that he could get us for 410 gigabytes. 10,000 gigabytes?
No.
Gigabytes
probably,
are bigger than 10,
mega. 10,000 meg or 10 gig.
Huh? Okay.
For
400.
Is that before or after your rate reimbursement?
That's probably after the reimbursement, because they pay the majority of it, right?
The reason that I was making this recommendation is because the county and this contractor, they're going to worry about all the technology that comes to the door of the school.
Right.
What I didn't want to have happen is not participating in this, because if the technology then gets near and they complete the project and other schools are the beneficiary of the increased speed does what, Julie, relevant to computers?
Basically, it makes the page in front of you load faster. If you are, suppose a teacher is streaming an educational video, streaming being the operative word here, you'll have less glitches or skips or that sort of thing if you have a faster.
Or if it's a rolling lab?
I'm not sure what you mean.
A rolling lab of it's like the computers that we have in the middle school.
Right.
I think that when you go online, you are able to get to the wireless faster, and you're able to do more streaming, which means students have access to better technology, and it's better not because the computer's better, but because the speed is better.
The limitation at the endpoint has to do with the wireless router. That's where the limitation is. So you can have a really speedy line to the router, and the mobile devices still can only get what the router will deliver.
Okay.
But yes, the more speed you have to the router.
And so that's why, for me, the extra cost, which ends up being about $50 a month, was worth it for the amount of technology that will come nearby.
Are you talking about which going with which one?
With the
new
one?
The new one
if you join the consortium.
Okay. So that's the question. I really want to try to find out what year we paid for it. Because we did pay, it says, expenditures of $5,051 that went to the wrong fiscal year. But so I'm wondering, do we have
paid out, or we were reimbursed that amount?
That is the question. Where did it go?
Was credited to the wrong fiscal year? I don't understand what happened.
Me either. These are the auditors. But so I can talk to, or I can give you this number to Frank Vanderhurst, who's the E-rate manager, since you're a techie, and ask him. He's up closer by Yavapai. But I told him about our dilemma, because the deadline is tomorrow.
Right.
And so I asked him, I said, if we don't hit that deadline, is it locked in? He said, well, we could probably work something out. But I'm wondering if you would talk to him and just tell him that I spoke to you about it and find out about these specific numbers. And I'll give you this. You can take a picture of this, what it says about the E-rate consortium of 5,051 found the expenditure was recorded in the wrong fiscal year.
Is this a Heinfield Beach finding that you're reading?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Ms. Right. Ms. Walker, what I'd like to do is, I think it's a great idea that Ms. Morgan communicate with
Contract.
Mr. Casey.
Right.
And then come back on July the 2nd and update you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Ms. Horton can look at this finding,
right,
communicate with Hyde and Phil Meach.
And find out where
it
is.
And then when she's here on July the 2nd, she can update you about that particular piece.
Well, here's the thing, is they said that we had not been with E-Rate Consortium, and I was positive we had been because I knew that we had paid it before, the last time around.
That is true. We
and
were,
then,
I just don't know which year the district stopped
paying. They
said
we haven't had it since 817, so did we have it? We didn't know it. Did we use it up? We didn't have it when we had it. I mean, where did the money go? We didn't utilize it.
The E-rate money?
Yeah.
For
the wrong fiscal year.
I don't think we had it because according to Jackie, when I spoke to her, she said that it would be something...
Jackie good, Clay?
Yeah. It would be something great if we were to join it because it benefits our school a lot more.
Because they pay the majority of the cost.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Yes.
Because they do pay... Yeah.
So you don't think it's a big issue about where that went?
No, I think it's a big issue because that's a lot of money, but we didn't have it. Like you said, we didn't have it because if she's, when I talked to her, she was like...
You asked Jackie, she knew where it went.
No, I didn't ask. No,
they,
I didn't know we were, I didn't know...
And they also had a local guy that I talked to, the IT director out of the county. That's probably who you talked to, right?
I talked to this Joe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is he IT
Joe
guy
Casey.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, when I talked to Jackie, she was just mentioning that it would be a good thing to get involved because of it would benefit our school a lot.
They pay
more.
A big majority of
it. Yeah.
And when I spoke to Ms. Morales, who's one of the staff members for Jackie Clay, she kind of led me to believe that Friday is the deadline.
He has said it is the deadline.
So she didn't seem to have a lot of wiggle room to that. So I figure if you accepted the recommendation, that it'd be easier to sign and then back out.
Well, that's true.
Rather
and
than
then we could also
not
find out about where the 5,000
went.
Yeah. Okay.
And it says right here if we did.
You see, yesterday Donna said she thought that your deal was better than the E-rate, and that why we were.
And
gonna...
I was misunderstood.
Oh, okay. Okay,
says.
That's why, because we weren't going to do the agenda.
Yeah, exactly,
okay.
And I misunderstood what
okay,
we,
all right.
Said.
So we're square. Okay.
I don't know what happened.
So I would recommend approval.
Okay, all right. Sorry you had to go through all that to get to where we really need.
But I think if you're okay with what I indicated in terms of Ms. Morgan reporting back to you on July the 2nd with her dialogue from Mr. Casey and Ms. Horton reporting back to you on this piece of the audit so that you at least have that information.
Okay, there's another one here I want you guys to look at because I'm confused by this, and it's a large amount of money too, so we'll talk about that. When we get down to it, here we are.
I have a number also that Jackie gave me for the E-rate, but I can't remember his name, but I can give it to you.
Sure.
See, maybe it's the same one, but I can...
Is it the 4328302?
No, that's Casey.
Is it the one on top, the 499-8421?
What's the area code?
928.
No,
this is E-rate. That's
yeah,
who I spoke to.
Because Jackie gave me the number and the name of a person.
And this is a manager.
Yeah. But I can't remember, but maybe I can get you that name also. And yeah, that way we can have...
He was really
good information.
Helpful.
Yeah. Do you want to email?
Yeah.
Or,
so
okay.
When there's...
After
then
the
I
meeting.
Can go ahead and email it to you. That way you can... She gave it to me so I can talk to him, but I haven't had time, to be honest, to talk to him. So.
Yeah, and if you don't wear this...
He was from Phoenix. That's where she told me, right? The Phoenix area. So.
Okay, let's talk about it over here. I'm getting close. All righty, so we are on item
I. Well, I don't think you've taken action on this one.
No, that's I.
Oh, I. That's I. I'm sorry. I was skipping ahead. Getting late.
Hmm?
Go ahead.
Okay. So pertaining to item I think that we're ready to approve, right?
Yes.
and we're ready to talk to make a motion. And then Judy can Julie can do some a little investigation. Okay, and I'll give these numbers, and you can get the number from her, and that might help you out. So pertaining to I, regarding the letter of the agency for Cochise County E-Rate Consortium, I'd like to move that we approve.
I'll second that.
Mr. Olmos seconds. Ayes?
Aye. So once you sign this evening, Ms. Walker, either I or Ms. Horton will deliver to the county superintendent tomorrow the letter.
Okay.
And then I put your name down simply because I just didn't know when the new superintendent's coming in, but I guess that could be changed once you get into the swing of things.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't had any contact with him, so let's see. So we're on
I'm going to go back to D.
To D. Presentation of possible action regarding the approval of the returning employees.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
And this is going to be for certified. Okay. Not classified, because we made the decision on classified already, right?
Yes.
And then we're...
And so you're saying
certified.
That there's certain certified on there that we're really think might not be advantageous. We can discuss that later.
I think that if you have concerns, that is something you could take up with your new superintendent and address that issue. But right now, for the agenda, it's basically moving on the individuals that are on the list, absent those that have said they're not returning.
It's only two of them.
Correct.
So I should make an amendment to discuss something with some particular person in. I just want me to approve all of them, regardless?
My recommendation would be to approve the ones that are on the list. And then if you have some concerns about a particular employee, that's something you could either take up with me or the new superintendent.
Well, I already talked to you about it.
Correct. And I'm not going to have time simply because I'm not going to be here.
Okay. I think you know the recording that you gave me that I asked for is blank, totally blank.
Okay.
So, go ahead. Yes. Make a motion.
Everyone that's on the list is every single
certified
teacher, with the exception of the two.
Correct.
So I would like to make a motion to Mr. Beppert on this one.
And now you're just dealing with certified staff, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the certified personnel returning employees for the 2019-2020 fiscal year. All of them.
May I read you the names?
Yeah. Let me go back.
Did we do the names already?
No, we haven't read those names.
Oh. There we go. 35. Does that start with Bruno?
Correct. Marcia Bruno. Guadalupe Chavez.
Okay.
Katie Doherty.
This is one.
Zenia Franco. Michael Hernandez. Maria Martan. Linda Mott. James Page, Shirley Parker, Aaron Rhodes, Jennifer Thomas, Teresa Torres.
Maria Reese and...
Those are two...
Maria Reese and Barbara Conalog have submitted letters of resignation that the board will consider and act on July the 2nd.
All right, so I would like to make a motion to approve all those mentioned.
Second motion.
Ayes.
Aye.
Three
ayes? Yep, three ayes.
Three.
And then we need to go back to J.
Okay, we did the kindergartner. So E-Rate, we're on J. Okay, on item J, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the interim superintendent performance pay. And so we had a discussion with Denise and with your offer that you brought to her, Mr. Marlin. We didn't do the performance evaluation. And so we're going to ask to give you $1,000 in lieu of your performance pay.
You're making the motion?
And may I ask a clarifying question?
Okay.
I am okay with that. That is independent of the other piece on any unused vacation and sick leave.
This is a totally different issue.
That's a different issue.
That's a whole different issue. And so, but this was at your request, I assume.
That is correct.
Okay. So, with that, I'd like to make a motion to approve the action regarding the interim superintendent performance pay. We didn't do the performance pay, but we are offering him $1,000 for that buyout.
I'll second that motion.
Mr. Lamos seconds. Ice?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So to do the buyout with that thing, huh? All you need to do, because that's a whole different issue, the performance pay versus the sick leave buyout. And so normally, I don't know what kind of documentation you have, but normally, like if you take out like a couple of hours a day or like for the day, you would give her a voucher that she would keep track of, just like how many days you were out, how many days. So we just need a number of how many days you were out, like what days. And then how many vacation days and sick leave days you have.
Is that something that I could put like in a Friday report?
You could do that.
So let me send it to you tomorrow because...
Because I'll tell you something.
I've held pretty well fidelity to that.
Okay.
Every time I'm out, I have...
Well, see, the superintendent always kind of keeps track of their own time. But that's the only way that we can back it up is to have you put in like a request for a leave of absence at handing it off to her. She is the one that kind of... observes that and backs it up.
So what I'm going to provide you is a memorandum that lists the days.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted to check the actual document, I wrote out that I was going to be absent because I had a doctor's appointment.
Right.
That she has in a folder.
Okay. That'd be good to bear validation.
And I have those leave requests for when he had annual leave off or sick leave off, and they match... exactly what he's going to send you on Friday.
Okay. We'll just attach that and we'll have it all concrete there, and so that'll be great. And so, and in fact, if you get that done, we could even do it at a regular meeting.
This is your last meeting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm just saying we should still do it.
I don't know what you're going to do.
We have to approve it. Your sick leave buyback and vacation day.
That's
I'm just saying that... You know
Then I would ask that be put on the July 2nd agenda.
Okay, perfect. Okay,
Now, I'm not going to be here, but I'll rely on Donna to do that.
Okay.
And then you've already acted on the performance pay.
You did that.
And so as
you
far
probably,
as
you probably, like, those categories, the way that is, a lot of those things, we don't really observe some of that. We're not here every day. And so you probably made out better on that because a lot of those things we couldn't observe, you know.
And I've been blessed with good health. So I'm really, I haven't been sick.
And good haircut. You got a good haircut.
Okay.
That was last time you had it.
Before we're done.
That was last time.
Nice.
Before we finish, I would like to say that thank you, Dr. Morado,
for
everything you did for this our school district. And in my opinion, I think you did an outstanding job.
Thank you.
Thank you, for sure.
Just so you know, I am working tomorrow. If it's okay with the board, I'd like to come in Monday morning and do payroll so that our employees do not have interruption in pay.
Mm-hmm.
The next payroll is going to be on July the 8th. And at that point, Ms. Horton, and I'm assuming the new superintendent will be here to then do that part. So on Monday, I'll be here to do the payroll.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the week I'm taking as vacation.
Okay.
Now, I'm still on call, and if there's anything that is needed or if I need to come in and address an issue all the way through Friday, I don't have a problem, and that's fine. But if it pleases the board, I'd like to come in on Monday and just do the payroll.
Okay. Well, tell us now, just we're off the agenda, but it's just curiosity more than anything. the summer school, after the violence and stuff, those numbers dropped quite a bit.
That was disappointing because...
Well, I told you, remember when I told you what happened before when my daughter's in school?
It's just
here.
That we...
And you can't avoid
this
it.
This is just a shot out of the blue is just the rage and the level of violence was just... I was shown some pictures and it was like, oh, God, it was awful.
Well, those are people we know, you know.
And so I believe it did have an impact on attendance because we were hanging in there in the mid-70s.
Mm-hmm.
And then we dropped into the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in the Friday report tomorrow...
Mm-hmm.
I believe the attendance was 48, 52, 56, 54. So we averaged 52 this week. The first week we averaged 72, 73.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, the only thing that's different was the level of violence.
Right.
And we do know that there are some parents that just said, I'm not going to send my kid anymore. There was some of that.
Well, we have some of our kids, those are dads.
The level of violence.
Yeah. You know?
And it was just so disappointing.
Could you grow up with
But I would recommend to the board, and again, it's going to rely on the next superintendent, I would recommend to the board that there was a lot of good that came out of the summer school because of the focus on academics and English. And God, our kids need it.
Now, did you have to send teachers home, though, when the numbers dropped?
No. I just kept everybody.
Oh, you did? So we didn't save any money on
that. Well, where there was a savings is
the money,
if anybody
the food.
Was absent, they did not get paid. So
may I ask a question before you adjourn?
Sure.
The contracts for the non-certified and the classified, I do not have. I have them with fill in the blank or not. I don't have a fill in the blank one for them, so that they get their standard amount. Come July 1, their current amount in July 1. Do you want me to bring them back July 2nd? That way they're already starting work. They've been approved to come to work.
Right.
But they will not have an actual letter of employment until the 2nd.
I think that's probably advisable, huh?
But would there be any issues with that?
I don't see why not.
I can still get them on the payroll for the 12th.
Right. Okay.
Now, some employees may be here the first and the second.
Right.
And, you know, I would advise that's probably okay, because on the second, you will then address the contract or the letter of employment. It's a moot issue for the teachers because those will sign tonight. So.
Or another option, instead of meeting, come in individually to sign it.
You can't do that because then you're that's really not our.
Yeah, because you haven't voted on actually which package that they're getting.
Right.
What do you mean?
Well, you haven't voted to say that they're not going to get a raise or their contract's just going to be currently what their current salary is.
See, the contracts, the letters of employment that we have include a figure.
Right.
We have one for one step. We have another one for the $1.
One for the
5%. We don't have one for, they're going to stay the same.
Right.
Oh, you're talking about classified.
Classified. What we do have is you've indicated it by board vote that you are going to return them. So I'm using that to indicate and to make sure that we're all on the same page. I'm using that to say that if any employee classified, that is a 12-month employee, if they report to work Monday and Tuesday, that on Tuesday afternoon, you probably are going to take this action, that if Armando shows up on July the 1st and July the 2nd, he's still going to get paid.
Who's
going
to say at school? Is it you and Ms. Diaz that stay here?
Yeah, but... and Ms. Morgan will be here July 1st also, plus the other hourly.
So, no, she won't be here July 1st.
Well, she's on vacation.
Yes.
But she will be getting paid for
it.
Right.
She's your year round?
We're going to have to.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
January 2020.
And then
so
the
three of
certified,
us and classified custodians and maintenance person.
Okay. And the kitchen
crew,
they will not be back.
They start until August?
24th of July. They come back to
three custodians, Ramon, who's maintenance, Miss Horton, Miss
Elias.
Miss Elias and Miss Morgan. Those are the seven.
So there's seven going to be.
And now some of them may be taking a day off, but those are the individuals. And then we may have like some of these custodians that will be working on the first and second, but they're going to get paid for that because on the second, you will then take action. All right.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No.
Thank you.
We didn't adjourn, did we?
No, we did not adjourn.
Okay, so I'm going to move that, ask for a second to move into adjournment at, is it
9:52.
56?
Okay. 52. I'll second that
motion. Adjourn. Ayes?
Aye.
And you should have the minutes on Monday.
Thank you.
I hate to tell you, but I'm so lucky. You're so lucky. Look at this thing. I don't use the look at it. Oops, here.
Different.
These two.
No. That's what, no, no, let's do.